Hello, this is Niyama, and welcome to the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next. I try to get through it. I didn't make it, y'all. But hey, how are you? This is Niyama Shang, and welcome to the Outliers Edge podcast. My name is Niyama Shang, and we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity. We help them do that by leveraging what makes them different to make their biggest difference in the world. And I love the way that, like, once the recording starts, like, to allow the fun to come out, because y'all, it's so interesting. Like, I'm associated with joy. I led a movement called the World Joy Movement, and one of the things that takes place for me is that, like, I can get joy from going deep with someone, to get up, to get underneath the surface, to shedding tears, or to like allowing the rage that we feel inside of our hearts to come out. And sometimes I just want to be silly. And I think that there's something about, like, the way every time I hit record on this, it allows it just it re-anchors into something. Right. And my invitation right off the bat, we're going to be bringing in our outlier guest today. But, like, right off the bat, I want to ask you, outliers, what do you do to re-anchor yourself? What are the things that, what is the trigger that you have? What's the, like, a cue that you use to say, hey, wait, let me take a breath. Let me re-anchor myself right now. Let me check in with how I'm doing. And then the second part of that is, how often are you putting that, like, in the front forefront? How frequently do you get a chance to do that? Every time I hit record, and y'all know we have episodes here, so every time I hit record, I get a chance to, like, live back into it. And today I'm gonna introduce you to our featured outlier here today. But she's already given me another one of those opportunities earlier today. I'll leave that as a teaser. Today we are joined with a phenomenal outlier. Her name's Corin Worsley. Corin, it's just fun to be in space with you. Thank you so much for saying yes to this invitation. And thank you for sharing more about your outlier journey with all of us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the invite. Yeah, I
Absolutely.
appreciate
I
it.
had alluded to just a bit ago that, like, I had a recalibrated moment. It is, you asked me, how am I doing today? And people don't know this. People don't expect it. I know, and maybe in some places it's considered rude to actually answer the question, but that is my check. When someone asks me how I'm doing, I actually take the time to think, like, whoa, I was just moving throughout the day. How am I doing? And I answer it honestly. It's actually really interesting because it ends up being two things. One, a chance for people to get to know me and see me, and two, also a filter. Because when people are like, oh, I don't want this, I don't want to actually know, and all that, then I'm like, oh, you're gonna have a hard time being in my space, because that was probably the lightest question that I've answered here, so thank you for posing it. Thank you for giving me the chance to recalibrate. Thank you for just giving me a chance to, like, slow down. And Corin, what I like to do when we come into these conversations is to share a little bit about who the person has been to me, right? And that element of what I just said there, I think, is something that, like, you bring to the table. Like, you actually help, like, yeah, it's not the recalibration, but it's about, like, being able to, like, see things and, like, in, like, a change the pace. You're a pace changer. My son watches the TV show and he likes the fast person, and he got paired up with a pet, and the pet is a sloth. So the person still gets to go fast, but when he goes in a sloth mode, he's going fast, and on the outside everything still looks fast, but for him, he's able to slow down and see things. And when I come into space with you, Corin, I feel like that's what happens for me. It's like there's still a lot going on, but, like, all of a sudden my field of vision opens up, and the amount of time I get to spend in any particular second, at least my perception of that time, also expands. And so I wanted to say thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that in. Whether you know it or not, that's the impact that you're having on me.
Interesting. Yeah, thank you. And I think sometimes the we don't understand the impact that we have. We need it
Yeah.
reflected back.
That's why I like to play. That's part of why I like to play the game, right? Right off the bat here. So here goes. This is me here expressing how you've impacted me internally. Let's let people get a chance to get to know you externally a bit, right? So tell us a little about who you are as a person and like as a professional.
So who am I as a person? I give you the the surface level. I'm from the UK, but I'm a linguist, so I have spent some time living in France, and also love learning Italian and spending time out in Italy. So I have a little bit of an adventurer kind of spirit in there, but also can be a little bit of a hermit, how to say. I'd say, yeah, I'm probably an ambivert, need my alone time, but also get really quite energized from mostly from speaking to big groups of people, and connecting, like you were saying before, connecting with like minds, the really deep connections. I'm definitely, I think there's an Anais Nin quote, that is, I must be a mermaid. I have no fear of depths and a great fear of shallow living, or something like that. And yeah,
Nice.
that quote really resonates. I can't help but take everything down to a deeper level. So yeah, and career-wise, professionally, a bit of a mixed bag. I started life as a translator, French and Italian into English, and then morphed into, I did an accountancy qualification, but I didn't really ever work properly as an accountant. I went straight into IT implementations across Europe. So I'm working on IT projects, really doing all sorts. So yeah, technically a lot of time spent working for big corporations, which is definitely feeding into my current iteration. And then I had my kind of my Saturn return, early life crisis, however you want to describe it, and recognized I wanted something more from life, and then started down the spirituality path of spirituality, because I was very religious and left that religion, and then headed down the life coaching route, and also have a very keen interest in health, and financial freedom as well, which is, yeah, so a bit of a mixed bag, but they all kind of combine to lead to what my next iteration is going to be.
I love it. There's I have the benefit of being able to see you right now in this conversation. And there's something about like that last bit that like now I'm like deeply curious about, because you were saying something and it almost looked like you surprised yourself when the words came out of your mouth. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think the financial freedom bit is probably what you're getting at, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about
Yeah.
that. Because yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. So from a very young age, I was very aware of wanting to make a certain amount of money, and very conscious about, this is the profession I'm going to choose in order for me to be able to make this much money. Maybe money is associated with safety or something along those lines. And then I kind of woke up around about early 30s and thought, oh, like I was making a lot of money, comparatively, not huge amounts, but compared to most people. I just recognized I'm never going to earn my way to freedom. That's not going to, all I'm doing is working more and more and more. And that's, it's not that, this isn't the freedom that I wanted. So then I started to follow kind of wealth mentors. Yeah, so that's still, it's still a curiosity of mine. And I'm also now getting really quite interested in wealth inequality and how that ties in with health. So yeah, it's curious how these things that, clearly piqued my interest even in my teens, even when I was really young. And it's like that breadcrumb, you kind of need to follow that breadcrumb and not discard it and think, oh, I'm being materialistic, I shouldn't be going down that, I shouldn't be wanting financial freedom, why can't I just be happy? Maybe. So I think sometimes we just need to go, no, like there's clearly something in that that is part of my soul's purpose in this life. So, follow it. So
I love that you brought up like the soul's purpose. Like, yeah, it was firstly, thank you. Court, I actually realized earlier you said like I can't really have like a surface conversation. I have to go to the depths. Like I'm very happy to swim with the mermaid on this one here. If you're honestly, what it brought up for me was like, oh, I feel like I can be challenged. And like for me, the challenge like that I think about is not like, is it challenging? Like it doesn't, it's not hard, you know. It's not challenged as in like, oh, someone's gonna push back on something. But I feel like it's gonna be challenged to be like, oh, how deep can we go, or how far can we swim, or you know, so on and so forth. So in this conversation, my invitation is just to like allow the conversation to go to the depths that you like that you want to be at. I think the challenge for me, if I'm being real, is like I know I'm doing Outliers Edge and this whole thing to both platform people that are amazing, to platform different outliers that are out there, and I'm walking up a line to say, how can I do this in a way that's in high integrity with each with every person that comes in, but also gets beyond and below what most other people would experience. You know, how can we make it so that like this conversation reveals more to people in the next 30 minutes than if they had followed you or paid attention for, you know, several hours, you know? And it just if you're cool with that, I'd like to put this invitation. There's no pressure, but I do want to let you know, like I am so open to things going beyond like what I present. And I think the challenge, if I'm gonna be honest here, and part of why I'm sharing this with you is to also go through this process out loud for like my other outliers that are listening here, that know that they want something, that know that like there's it's it feels almost a bit amorphous to them, you know. But it's like if we can get there, we know that it will open everything up. And so I don't want to like hide that process, because people are going to see it 50 episodes later, or maybe 50 minutes later when you and I talk and be like, wow, whatever he did, it all clicked. But the reality is like this is what's actually working. This is what I'm actually working through right now. And I think that in like there's just a bunch of the people out there who are listening, working through their own things. So are you good with us having like just having the room for depth? We don't have to go, but like just knowing that
Yeah, of
like we don't
course.
have to stay anywhere else. Okay. I'd be curious, did you hear anything in what I said that like that struck you a bit? And then we're gonna dive in. I wouldn't you brought up something about the financial and health financial freedom and health and such that I thought was pretty interesting. So I want to dive in a little bit more about that. But was there anything in what I said that struck you in any way?
I think you what you shared about everybody listening, every outlier listening is going to have their own, be going through their own stuff. And I would just hope that if by going deep, we give people the permission to also go deep and perhaps also start to think about, what are the breadcrumbs in my life that I've maybe been ignoring or dismissing or something like that. So yeah.
So can you do me a favor? Can you like help us look at like I know that like you mentioned the financial freedom and like and health right now, and something that's interesting to you. Can you help? Okay, hold on. I do want to get to that question, but I realize that there's one other question I think would actually like also help illuminate our conversation a bit, right? And that question that's coming up here is like, all right. So I'm getting a bit about like some of you so far here, and so much so that you got me to like say, oh, we can play this differently. Help me see here, help share like how you are bringing your soul's purpose out to life right now. Like what's the impact that you are making, and what's like the vehicle that you are bringing that to life, and essentially how are you making your world a difference right now?
So it's a very recent reformulation, as we've talked about in previous conversations. And a part of my journey that I guess I didn't really mention was burnout, adrenal fatigue, and coming from somebody that always thought I was completely robust and unbreakable, basically. And so all of these elements are weaving together, the health piece, the financial, the wealth inequality piece, also looking into patriarchy and capitalism as it is being expressed now, whatever you want to call it, toxic capitalism, and ultimately what is being weaved is a message, teachings on how kind of being gaslit, yeah, gaslighted, it's not the right way to say gaslit. Maybe gaslighted is the right way.
It's funny because if
Into
I said one way, it would only contribute to the gaslit nation of it all. But go ahead, please.
But there's this gaslighting going on, I feel, by big corporations, in particular, by the culture, which is saying it's our fault that we're not thriving, that we're not healthy, that we're not maybe living the lives that we want to live. But actually, there's a whole load of cultural stuff, conditioning that is contributing to, well, not just contributing to, it's a causation, I believe, that is causing us to not have the health that we want, to be struggling maybe financially, and no amount of manifesting is going to get you out of this situation. So I kind of, it's interesting because I'm very into my spirituality, or energetics and things like that, but I really see the systemic issues that are at play and that are influencing people's health, people's well-being. And so I'm merging all of those things together to educate people about the conditioning and the culture and the systemic things that are going on, as well as giving them the tools to feel well, and also encouraging them then to, where they can, to contribute to changing the culture. There's a teacher who I work with called Kelly Deals, who talks about how if there's no people, there's no culture, which is right. It's completely right. If we don't make the culture, there is no culture. So yeah, I want to just educate, really educate people. And I hate saying empowerment. I don't like to say empowerment, but you need to give people the knowledge, the understanding that it's not, they're not entirely to blame for the situations that they find themselves in. And I don't want to be, I'm not going to be the kind of the health entrepreneur, coach, well, whatever I want to call myself, that is going to go out there and teach people how to survive in a system that's fully broken. I want to give them the education and the tools to actually start creating a new system.
So, just so you know, you just stepped into a world that you didn't step into, but you just opened up in a place that like deeply interests me, right? There was a time where I felt like there was a lot of what I was talking about was around how do you be a leader who not just does something different because it's novel, but does something different that like actually changes the way that we as humans interact on this planet, and really go after the elements of people in power, the elements of current ways of power structures, and different like components of how the world is shaped up in inequitable ways. All right. So I feel like as I'm hearing you, you're on a mission, and you have like you're telling me a little bit about the vehicle that you've chosen to bring that mission to life here. And I also feel you with the word empowerment. I get that. It's I'd be curious for you like why that word is not like the biggest like that doesn't really resonate with you. And like for me there's an element of like I was almost like agency. I use a lot of times I'll say like transformation. Like I'm like we're just not going far enough. Empowerment is we're all already empowered. We can do it, but we have to go like it's there's a step beyond it. So I'd be curious about that for you and how you bring that to life.
I think the thing with empowerment for me is that it feels a bit patronizing, right? You never say to a man you're going to empower a man. It's quite unusual. Usually it's in women's related stuff where it's like, female empowerment and all that kind of stuff. But no, we're already powerful. We've just been told that we're not, or conditioned to not believe that we are. We don't need to be empowered. We just need to be taught how to connect back with the power and how to use the power. So yeah, that's where the issue lies with the word empowerment. And in terms of the how, for me it is, it's about planting the seeds of something, a different possibility. You know, I tend to find that I am the one that just sees something slightly differently, thinks about something slightly differently than everybody else. And it's like this thought has never crossed anybody else's mind. And whereas I just, and then, but once you know, have that bit of knowledge or you have that seed planted, then you just start to question other things. Like, hang on a minute. Yeah. Maybe there is another way. Maybe this isn't the only way that we can do things. So yeah, that's how I'm going to go about it.
Yeah, with something in your world recently that where you are looking at that for yourself, where maybe you had thought about like, and when I say your world, I mean like your business, your movement, the things that you're doing, the way that you're helping people. Where's the place where recently one of those kind of shifts, or those like, hang on a minute, moments happened for you?
I think it's mostly in starting to get my message out there, to believe that that I've got something to say. You know, you look at, or I look at all these people with these ragingly successful podcasts and oh gosh, you know, who would want to listen to my podcast, or who, you know, that like there's something special about all these other people. And I think that the piece of difference for me recently has been like, what if there isn't anything special about those people? What if they just started? Like, what if they just went out there and they did it and they started and it was messy and not very good to begin with, and they just cracked on, and what I'm seeing is them, you know, 10 years down the line. And you know, then comparing that to me just beginning to formulate my voice and my message. So I think that's one thing where, you know, I've really started to be able to question my thinking around, yeah, these people have something special about them. Probably not, you know. As in the Cor A Course in Miracles, it says we are all special and none of us are special.
Yeah. I'm laughing over here and I'm enjoying this here because a couple of different things. One, I think it's important because I talk about outliers, you know? And it's like, and it but like but I also know that like on the other side of my mind, I'm like, I am gathering outliers, and in doing so, I'm taking these outliers and now making outlying the norm. You know, so like it actually like as much as we identify in certain different ways, like it's a made up construct, you know, the made up construct. And so before, like I was talking to someone, like most podcasts, like I have access to like how various podcasts are doing, listenership, so on and so forth. It's like you start to look at the podcasts that have even just like some kind of like a following, like even like 500 listeners an episode or something like that, and the percentage of people that have that like drastically drops. It's like this is now a little anecdotal, but it's like 5% of people, like 5% of the podcasts out there even reach that, you know? So it's interesting because it's like it's almost like as you're saying it make me think about like a basketball player or like an actor and actress where it's like there's some like it's available to all of us. We can all do it. But there's something that like what's been coming to me is like some like to me it honestly comes down to I think like the systems that people put into it. You know, the like what you're saying, like you're seeing them 10 years in it. Well, that means you have 10 years worth of building relationships, 10 years worth of like figuring out their voice, 10 years worth of like working behind the scenes or getting on to like places or building up an audience or whatever it is. And I think about that kind of stuff a lot, where it's like, oh, they are probably just ordinary people who've done extraordinary things. But extraordinary, it's like right there. It's like extraordinary. You know, it's like they're even more ordinary than us. They just kept doing it, you know,
And I feel like there's some scarcity conditioning in there, maybe. Maybe there's an element of cultural, it suits the system for us all to continue just following the rules and doing what everybody else is doing. And that's quite an easy trap to get sucked into in terms of you question yourself when you start to try and do something that's not like that, whether it be your immediate family, friendship group. Even I have these thoughts like, my God, like if I really do get this business going and flying and living the way that I want to live, then I'm just going to be living in a completely different way than my family and my friends. And then am I going to lose the connections? Am I going to be, out on my own? So it's like it's a little bit of that kind of belonging. You want to belong to the crowd, but it doesn't mean that we can't step outside and do something different. I think as well as a little bit of you just got to have the audacity to do it and try not to worry about it. You can't control all the outcomes as well. I think I'm definitely a perfectionist. Catch myself wanting to control all the outcomes. And you can't do that. I can't control what the outcome is going to be in 5 years right now. I just have to start and do the things that start connecting with my intuition, which again, we are kind of trained out of, conditioned out of, just follow those intuitive nudges one at a time, It's a very counterculture way to do things.
So there's a lot of things that are showing up for me as you're saying that. The first one is like, most people don't know this, but this is actually, and this is because I hide it behind other things. I don't know if I hide it, but I obfuscate it. I talk about it when it shows up, but it's not easy to see. But this whole podcast is just a podcast on belonging. This is a belonging podcast, and I bring on outliers because they are people who, like, it's like when you like the challenge you talked about, like the fear. Let me just talk about myself real quick. The one of my biggest things is like, is that relative to everyone else, like I'm afraid of losing everyone. My number one fear is being alone. My number one fear is being alone. So there's a number of times where it's like I've hidden my intellect. I've hidden like I hide behind humor, not like so that like I can do something. I can excel in something, but I'll try and find a way to make me still like one of the others, right? Like everyone else, right? And I think it's part of the reason why I choose to do outliers is because I'm like, I'm meeting incredible people. And when I meet them, like we are a bit on our own, you know? And it's an interesting thing for someone who's like, whose number one fear is being alone. This could be a very lonely path, you know? And at the same time, there's something in it where it's like, it's the path that I'm definitely going to walk, but at the same time, the path of like we're actually not alone, you know. There are like there's an element of like, how does this work on the local level, like the hyper local level, essentially like your family and friends, you know. I think being able to find, I think it's a lot of reason why I try and bring people together. So it's like, hey, family and friends, like you know that there is, how do I say it? So that we can expand the space that we have, or like the resources that we have, so that like you can be, it's a good question. It's like you have other places to go for what it is that you're looking for, and they don't have to be anything more than what they are because they're not on the same kind of journey. But you're bringing up some really important elements, and you know, I want to ask you a question around, you talk a lot about like the systems, like, you know, the systemic things. You talk a lot about culture, right? Cultures in my background. And so if something's really cool and different, to be taking on this thing from a standpoint of, like, you mentioned life coaching earlier, so that's why I got into the different part. But it feels like it feels like you're bridging a gap between helping the individual while also taking on, like, some of, like, the, like, systemic, like, challenges, rather than being like, let me go to the government and work on the system there, or let me go here. It's like there's an L, there's an individual component of it. So can you speak a little bit to that right now?
No,
Did I even get it
absolutely.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you really hit it. It's like, I feel quite a lot of the spirituality and the wellness industry is very focused on the individual. It's like it's all within your power. It's all your responsibility. And while I do believe that there is a lot that's within our power and that, our choices, we are responsible for our choices. I also say that from a very privileged position. This is what I'm very, very aware of. I'm a white, well-educated female, won the ovarian lottery, middle class. I really don't know what it's like to not have that, to be born into circumstances that were not your choice or your responsibility at all. You're already starting from, you're starting behind. I don't like behind isn't really the right way of saying it, but you're at a disadvantage, shall we say. So I don't feel like you can completely ignore the collective issues, the systemic issues that are going on. You can't say to one person who's, going to a food bank just to feed their kids because their salary is so poor, and in the UK, rents and house prices are just going through the roof. Which is where the kind of the wealth inequality piece comes in. You can't say that that person and myself have the exact same opportunity. It's an unfair statement. So it's that interesting balance of the individual, giving the individual the tools and the knowledge to make the difference that they can make, but also at the same time saying this system is broken, it's not right. It needs to change, even in terms of, so as I mentioned, I spent a lot of time working in corporations, and that's where I got my stress and my burnout from, and also working for a big pharma company. I'm very conscious of how they operate, and I'm educating myself on how they operate. And it's I want to bring awareness, give people awareness of how they operate, because I feel like a lot of people just aren't aware, and don't see the truth behind or underneath what the big corporations are doing. And same with the big food corporations, right? They have scientists working to create foods that are going to hook us, that are going to addict us. So it's not really a fair playing field, to say, "Oh, just stop eating that stuff." Well, hang on a minute though. Like, we've been hooked in here, and it's become part of the culture. So yeah, it's a really it's an interesting mix. But like you were saying, am I going to go to the top of government and start making a difference there? Not right now. I look at Marianne Williamson and think she is just like an amazing woman, and so much courage to be running for, the Democratic candidacy over in the US, as she did. But I'm not quite there yet.
I like the yet there. I like the yet parts of this thing. What we're talking about fascinates me, and what we'll do here is we're going to start wrapping up this part of the conversation. But I know that, well, there's a couple different things. One of them, and this is coming into the back of my mind right now, and I recognize this here as we are talking. This is going to be a little bit of a different part, but work with me on this for a bit. As we're talking, your background is getting darker and darker, right?
Yes.
And as such, you are starting to fade out of the light, right?
Need to go and turn my light on.
Yeah. Would you like to go do that?
Yep, sure. I'll
All
go and do
right,
that. One
go and
second.
do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have some light.
Awesome. You have some like, look, I'm keeping this in our conversation right now, and like in, as part of the podcast here, because I think it's the way I apply with things in the sense of something you had mentioned earlier was around like visibility, bringing visibility to things. And one of the things that I've noticed here, and this has happened actually a number of times in my career, we're talking to people, it's like especially those who are like, I want to come out and I want to be more visible. It is oftentimes where either like I'll have a conversation with them and like their hair is like covering their face, like or this thing like they're being faded out, you know. And rather than just being like I'm here to be visible, I'm gonna go turn on the light. We let it like that continue to take place. So, I'll put that in here like because I also realized like interestingly on my end, it's been a while since I brought that forth, right? So I'm sitting on this end, and you're talking about different systems we have and different cu cultures we have, and so on and so forth. And I find myself in this place of wanting to like walk this balance of being like, should I pause it? Should I not? Should I say that they should disappear, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting how like we even have like we even create our own microculture that's in here, right? And my thing here, if you don't mind, I'm like it, like you have something that like I think the reason I said this out right now is because like. You were, it felt like I was like, oh, I think you're going to tell me like some of the things that you're seeing, you know, like you don't have to do it right now, but like some of the things that you're like seeing in there. And it's like right when we got to it, we went to a different place. And so I was like, oh, I really want to know what is it that you see that I can't see? And when I said that, I was like, you know what though? I myself, I'm not creating the culture, I'm not creating like the environment right now for that to come in because like, I am not speaking what I am seeing, you know. I like, and in doing so, and I have a general faith like thing here. As I think about it right now, it's like, but it was like, oh, how presumptuous! But it's like, you can't take anyone deeper than you're willing to go yourself, and the space itself doesn't have that depth. If I'm not willing to say it, then where would things go from there? So I appreciate you being in there. I'd be curious if anything comes to mind for you as I say that, if you have any reflections on that. And then we'll start wrapping up for today.
I think maybe like it's great to recognize that, but also let yourself off the hook slightly because it is challenging. I feel like what popped into my head there was it's a little bit like relationships. So, you know, when I was growing up, I had a certain type of relationship modeled to me, which was woman meets a man, they get married, have kids, woman stays at home, looks after kids, cooks, cleans, does the housework, you know. And I saw that and thought, F that. I'm not, hell no, you know. But I didn't have another model. So then I just ended up with nothing for a long, long time because I just knew I do not want that. And it's the thing, it's quite similar with culture. Yeah, how do we, when we're so ingrained in this the way of doing things, it's really difficult to imagine something else. And that's where you need like the visionaries. Who can see it being done in a different way? I'm not saying I'm one of those visionaries. I'm usually learning from the visionaries and going, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Imagine doing that. Like talking about, again, with this teacher that I'm working with, talking about contracts and actually having a contract, you know, with the employee and employer where you both agree on the terms within the contract. And I was like, oh, imagine that. Like, you know, my current, you know, when I'm contracting for the pharmaceutical company, I just get given a contract. If I don't like it, then there's tough luck. You know, it's not a negotiation. This is going to work for you. Is this going to work for me? It's kind of like I then just try and structure my days in my own way, in secret, you know, outside of that contract. So I think it's a challenge. It's a challenge to come up with a new system.
We're probably gonna have to have like a part two on this here, because like, because you said a couple of things like that really got me, and it's and I think about like it gets me, but I think it's like the world that we live in with as outliers. It's like we're in the world of different season right now in this podcast, and it's all about like helping people create a different world, a world that is based, for me, it's a world that is based on our differences rather than our strengths, right? And that's just like an also a representation of like what makes you unique. Go do that. Who are you? And really, how do you belong so fully to yourself that like, Corin, you're the only Corin on this entire planet, you know? So the more you that you are, the more the world gets the benefit from quote unquote your difference, but it's really just you. Right. And just like we just get more and more of you. Like that's like that's underneath this whole thing. And you said something that became just so you know, I got a huge gift out of it. You talked about like you had a model of let's say of life at a certain point. You like I reject or I like I'm not going down, I'm not gonna follow that model, but there was still the absence of the new model, you know, and when you say that, that like the gift that it gave me was just like it speaks to what gets done in my space. It speaks to my own experience, you know, of life. And also like what is ultimately happening inside of Outlier's Edge, which I've been having a hard time succinctly articulating. All right. Not only succinctly articulating, I think I can actually articulate it succinctly, but saying it in a way that is in a way that belongs to me, regardless of if it fits in with other people, what other people think about. I have a distinction of fit in, fit out, and belong. I've done. I know. I don't fit in most places I go, so I tended to fit out, which was to like be the class clown or like to find some reason to. Oh, he's that guy, right? That guy is still a part of the group, you know. But like being like the like belonging to myself and potentially being like being like. So unlike the group that they couldn't actually find a place for me, you know, that was a difficult journey. And so as you talk about now building out models here, I realize like you've gifted me with some language to discuss it. It's like, what do we do in this path when we are taking on like power structures and also at the same time helping people do it in an individual way and bringing in health and bringing in financial freedom and mixing all the different parts of who we are to create something that, quite frankly, has not been modeled yet. There are people who do different bits and pieces of it, you know, but the model itself is actually like we are the model, you know. And I'd be kind of curious, like as we wrap up for today, you caught me in conversation, you caught me here. But as we wrap up for today, I'd be curious about any of your thoughts on that, and then we'll let people know how they can continue down that conversation with you.
I feel like what really resonated and hit for me was when you was talking about being the most you that you can be. That is everybody's sole purpose, is to be the most them that they can possibly be. And then that kind of is the model. That's their model. I don't feel like there's really, it's not encouraged, shall we say, at the moment, I don't think. It's about fitting in, as you were saying. It's so important to fit in. But I think a bit like you, I never did fit in. And actually found it really useful coming to astrology and human design and looking at my archetypes and all the kind of esoteric stuff to come to the conclusion I was never meant to. Like that was not my place in this lifetime to be part of the crowd. That's just not it. So embrace that difference, which is just being as much me as I can possibly be. So I would say, yeah, that's a good place to end on. That's kind of my ultimate mission, really.
I appreciate you. Thanks for bringing that into focus, even for me, because there's something I find that to be. And you've noticed in our conversation, I tend to reflect back both my experience of you, the words that I think I'm hearing from you, so on and so forth. The reason it's coming to me in this moment, but part of the reason I do that, there's a number of different reasons. But part of the reason I keep coming to it is because there's a number of different reasons. I'm like, it has so many benefits. But the other side of it is that like sometimes we talked earlier about like giving people permission. I think that there's an element of just like being able to hear back from someone either the same thing or a different way of expressing what's been going on, that ends up being not ends up being validated. Not that you're actually validating me, you know, because there's people like there's a way to do that in a way that's saccharine. It's not actually truth, you know. It's like I think there's a difference between being a cheerleader and a champion, you know. But I think there's a component of in this world where we haven't where we don't have our own models out there, it's hard to know if what we are saying actually is like are we like the vision that we have, is it actually truth or are we like being delusional, right? And how delusional, like I think all of us are delusional to some extent, you know. So it's like how delusional are we, you know? Is it a healthy delusion, you know, or is it something where it's like hold on, I might be betting the farm on my life, my livelihoods, my family, my friends, like all these things out here for something that can't happen, at least, you know. And so there's a lot that I'm getting from you in this conversation. I wanted to say that who you are being reinforces things that I am hoping to be true. And I might be selective to choosing along the way. But to be honest, I think that I heard somewhere from Peter Block. He says something along in his book, Community, The Structure of Belonging. He says something along the lines of like, it's part of what comes out. It's like, if you're able to create the future in just one like moment and instance, the work is already done. Because if it can be done between one per like two different people, then it can be a shared reality, and it can all that's missing there is just it being expanded to other people. And I think that you're just really bringing me into some version of that right now within this conversation and being able to explore the way that we explored, and to not and to unpack the way that we unpack. And I appreciate you, Corinne. It's been a lovely conversation. I appreciate who you're being. For those people out there who also appreciate it and want to go further down into your world, what's the best way that they can continue the journey with you?
So I'm, as I say, I'm about to reignite my platform. So Instagram, I'm at Corinne Worsley. And then my podcast Uncaged, I will be restarting that one as I embark on this new path of disruption or whatever we're going to call it. And yeah, my website again, it's been kind of on hold for a couple of years actually, while I sorted myself out. So I intend, yeah, to that'll be back up again in the next couple of weeks, and that's just www.corinneworsley.com.
Awesome. Check out the show notes here, y'all, for all that, and make sure you get the spelling and everything. Corinne, I am. It's funny to me as you're talking because I'm like, at the time of recording all these things, you're like, this is on hold. I'm coming back out. I'm about to ignite, you know, so on and so forth. And there's a chance that someone's listening to this, and they go on, they're like, this is the Corinne Worsley, like back, like there's a time where she was figuring this out, where there's a time when her website, all this stuff was still like coming back into life there. And that's what I love, right? Who knows what we'll be 10 years from now, right? Like, but we will, like, I think one of the things I'm getting is like, we are the model makers. And we either make the models for others or we make the models with others for themselves, you know. But like, we are the model makers. I've never said that out loud, but there's something for me that actually feels like, oh yeah, now we're getting back into it. This feels more like the mission. Okay, let's go create these new models of what it looks like to be whatever you fill in the blank, you know. And so I'm grateful for you. There's a lot that just came into alignment in this conversation. Thanks for being who you are, and thanks for bringing that to the table. Last question for you then. I call the time capsule question. If there's a message that you could leave for yourself for 10 years later for you to come and listen to, what's the message that you that like knowing all that you know now, having the wisdom that you have in this current moment, what's the message that you would think that a future you would want to be reminded of?
I'm gonna go with what came into my head first, which is start. Just gotta start. Like, imagine if I start now. what will happen in 10 years. You know, people will be like, what, the Corin Worsley?
Yeah.
If I don't start, or if you don't start, whatever it is that people out there are thinking of doing, just got to start. Yeah.
Thank you so much. All right. Be well
Thank you
and
very
journey
much.
on.
Thank you.